to or not to? This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with thought for today. To or not to? To or not to go for an idea? Not going for an idea continues the not idea. Going for an idea is making all new. Now, we spoke a few moments ago about learning how to stop, learning how to respond subconsciously to things. Now, we've had little Jerome. Jerome was 8 years old, maybe, something like that, 7, 8, 10. And he was out here, and he wanted to learn how to ride the golf cart. I said, okay, but first, your grandma goes with you, and you ride back and forth, and you stay on the level, and you do that. And then, show me that you can do it. So, he did, and he rode on the level, did great. I said, okay, now you can go on your own, on the level. You keep going on the level for another couple days. So, he went on the level, and he went everywhere on the level. And he had such a good time, and he drove beautifully. He built beautiful habits. Then, after he'd shown that he could do that, then I said, all right, now you can drive up and down the hills and anywhere on the property. So he started driving all over the property. And he drove with such skill and such concern and such interest and such sincerity that it was a pleasure to watch him drive the golf carts. In fact, he drove them better than I did. Because I drove them a little roughly, he drove them as though it were the most great, beautiful treasure in the world for him to drive that car. Well, his sister came out here, and we had her do the same thing when she was old enough, and she went through the same learning principle, and she learned to drive like a princess. Now, here it is. He's 17, I believe. And he's in Switzerland. He has his driver's license. And he drives motorcycles. But he drove motorcycles first. He drove his motorcycles with such precision and such care that his father and everybody had no doubt that he was excellent. Although, one day, he made a little mistake. And he was with a friend, and they were going through a little town. And the little town had a policeman in it. And as they went through the town, they went through the town beyond the speed limit, a little faster than they should have. And so the policeman called him in, gave him a ticket, and said, appear before the judge. And that motorcycle had to have an adjustment made to it that would not allow it to drive so fast. So he made the adjustment and went in to see the judge. And before he even walked up to the judge's table, the judge says, did you do it? Yep. Okay, no problem. Go ahead. And he had always learned to be his integrity and his honesty. Now, whether he learned it from his grandmother, his father, his mother, whomever was in the world, he learned it. And he learned to practice it here at the university, here on campus and in our retreats and in our seminars that he attended. But now he is the living example of an excellent driver. Now you say, well, lots of people could be excellent drivers, and lots of people could do that, and they didn't have all that background that you gave them, you know. That's true. But somewhere along the line, they learned to respect themselves and to respect the vehicle that they drive. Now, to have Jerome be a good driver, which is not a problem, but to have Jerome be a good driver, would it have been wise if I had said, don't do this, Jerome, don't do that, Jerome, don't do this, Jerome. Jerome, you're doing that so poor. Jerome, you can't even see your head before your face. What's the matter with you, Jerome? Yeah, what, are you blind? You know, what kind of a driver would he be? He would be an antagonistic driver. He would be an irritated driver. He would be a driver who would not be happy on the road at all. He would be a bundle of nerves driving around. Everywhere he went, he would be feeling my words of anxiety toward him. Everywhere where he would go, he'd feel my words of doubt. Now, that doesn't help anything. No. I read an article, and it's about, it's in Discovery Magazine for me, and it's about the world, and it's telling how the world is having problems, how the Greenpeace is having problems, how the water is having problems, how the this is having problems, how the that is having problems, how another thing is having problems. And then it goes on. And then it mentions in one place that the woman in Africa is the first woman to ever receive a Nobel Prize for planting trees. She instigated over a 10 or 20 year cycle in Africa, planting trees wherever it was possible to plant, and over 41 million trees or something like that she succeeded in getting planted through herself and other people. And she earned the Nobel Peace Prize, not Peace Prize, the Nobel Prize for environment, you know, for that. Now, how many people do you know who have earned a Nobel Prize for doing something negative, for going against something? None. All of them are from achieving something. And then in the article, there's a statement which I don't have before me right now, but the statement said, it was written by this woman who was herself writing all about the environmental needs of the world and how presently important they are and how vital they are, and all about the problems of problems, the problems of problems, the problems. And then she says she is one of these people who is hyper on doing something about whatever needs to have something done about it. And usually it's correcting the problem. And she said, there are people in this world who can go around and be unaware of these problems, and these are the people who are living in their own peace. But I'm one of these people who have to get out and do something. And I thought to myself, lady, did you realize what you just said there?
Mm-hmm.
Did you realize what you just said? The people who are at peace are the people who are not going out and trying to change the world, but who live in the world in such a sincere, such a loving, such a beneficial way. Now, Jerome drove the golf cart. And then, as the years went on, he would continue coming to the ranch. He came to the ranch many, many years. And then he began to drive the tractor. Now the tractor was, you know, bigger than he was, of course. And he would get up in that tractor and he would drive it along the flatlands first. And then he would learn how to drive it up and down a hill, straight up and straight down, not sideways, because it could tip over. And he would learn all these beautiful things. Now, he drives the tractor beautifully. And we've got pictures of him driving that tractor and proud as punch. He doesn't think he's better than anybody else. He just does whatever he does to perfection. I've always respected that kid. Really fantastic. Okay, now, always will too, I'm sure. Now, what if Jerome would go around trying to make things happen, trying to change things? What if Jerome were to take the tractor and take the blade and go full bore at the hill and jam it up down, pull up the dirt and stuff? What if he'd do that? What would happen? In no time at all, we wouldn't have a tractor. He would beat the tractor up. But he learned to go scooping little by little by little until he got a full shovel full, then go over and put it where he wanted it to. Now you see, that's the art. The art of using the world beautifully is using the world how it's designed to be used. Now, the tractor is designed to be used in just that way. Now, is Jerome going to make a good tractor person, or if he wants to, sure. But Jerome's going to do something else. all of the areas where Jerome is invited to think by his own thought, mentality, he is going to think about it in a very beneficial way. If someone says to him, Jerome, I think this green piece is a lot of joke, you know. Why should we have that? And Jerome says, well, we shouldn't really have green peace. We shouldn't save the whales. We should increase the possibility for the whales to live. We should set new rules for fishing and for other types of things in the ocean. And whatever things need, if the trees are taken off, let's plant new trees. If the grounds are swept clear of trees or beneficial things in nature, let's plant new ones. That's what the lady in Africa is doing. And all over the world, if there is a problem, let's be its solution and not its continuance as a problem. This lady writing that people who will not be disturbed by the world's conditions are at peace. What she probably meant was that they were blind and ignorant and stupid, you know. But she didn't want to say that because that would include most of the world. But she meant that when she said it. And that's why she didn't give herself that praise, that opportunity. But if we can learn to, instead of being disturbed by anything that needs to be done, look at it peacefully, wonderfully, and say, there is a solution, just like our Rubik's Cube. The Rubik's Cube is a pure mathematical device, and if you learn how to use it, you can make it work perfectly and beautifully every time. And I have a wireless, I have a, what do we say, I have a network, I have the internet at my house, and it's not functioning. And it says it's functioning, it says it's there, it says everything, but it's not functioning. And it's not functioning on everything I do. Now, somewhere I am pushing some button that is making it not function. Because it's there to function. Now, why am I pushing that button? If I go to the problem, I will just find more problems. If I go to the solution, then I will find the solution. Now, what is the solution? The solution is find how to have a clear channel. Find how to have a clear channel. So, as I use my Rubik's Cube curiosity to look at it and find a clear channel for it, I'll find it. And when I do, poof, it'll be perfect. But because I have so many people, so many wise people helping me and showing me how they would do it, and they do it under different circumstances. They have broadband and all sorts of other things. And so when they look at my computer and then they try to do it from what they know, they're confused. And so our friend, I'm speaking, of course, of Daniel, but our friend Daniel, when I say to Daniel, Daniel, this is a new program. Tell me how it works. And Daniel says, just a minute. And he holds his hand over the program and says, okay, this is how it works. He doesn't really do that, but he just takes the program, sticks it in there, and applies everything he knows to it. And if it works, then it means that it works by what he knows. If it doesn't work by what he knows, then he has to apply some other things to it. But within, oh, maybe 30 minutes, he will have that very new, difficult program figured out, and he will run it, and he'll run it adequately. Now, he will not know the nuances of it. He will not know the special things that it can do. But he will know how to use it and how to run it and how to make it go and how to have it be functional. And I say, Daniel, don't you ever read the books? Don't you ever read the manuals? He said, no. He says, I only use the manual for reference. If I have a problem in some area that it doesn't fit in all the things that I know, then I check it. And really, that's the way it is. Now, for you, to or not to? Are you going to go to an idea, or are you going to go to the problem? Are you going to go to the solution, or are you going to go to the problem? Now, this concerns everything. This concerns everything. But I think foremost in our minds, we should keep the idea, those who knew nothing about it were at peace. You know? Now you say, ignorance is bliss. You've heard that statement. Yeah. Well, I think there's more to that than meets the eye. It is. It is. If, and this, back to my illustration here, if the mother is told that her son has done something bad, and the mother says, son, did you do something bad? And he says, no. And she says, son, you never lie. She says, let's find what's going on here. She believes in him 100%. She doesn't care how obvious the indications are that the child has done something bad. She believes, and the solution is found. The truth is found, and the son is exonerated. But if we're going to work for the problem, then we believe there's a problem, because we're working on the problem, we're endorsing the problem, we're encouraging the problem to continue being there, and the problem, it makes up 24 hours of our day. Whereas if the mother were to work on the problem, she would have nothing going for her. Mm-hmm. That's why we have lawyers. Lawyers work on problems, not solutions. If lawyers would work on solutions, there'd be no problems. Really? It'd be quite a wonderful world. But think about this. Think about this for yourself, because this is tremendously important. And just remember, that isn't really so foolish. Ignorance is bliss. Ignorance. Are you ignorant of pornography? Well, that's a bliss. Are you ignorant of all that Einstein knows? That's a bliss. Einstein was going crazy half the time, because he had so many beautiful ideas that were popping through his mind that he wanted to release and bring out. And it was crazy as far as people were concerned, because he would forget to put his shoes on. You see? And it was not a matter that he was crazy in what he's doing. It was just that he had no other interest in anything else. And how wonderful that is. When Jerome drove the tractor, he gave 100% of his attention to it. And he did a beautiful job. And Giordano, when he came out here and drove the tractor, he did the same thing.
Yeah.
He learned carefully how to do it first. And after he learned, then he applied it. Mm-hmm. Now, I've been the teacher for a lot of young people in learning cars and tractors and motorcycles, too. We had a motorcycle for a long time, too. Mm-hmm. And I taught them. And taught them how to ride horses. I taught them how to ride donkeys. I taught them how to ride on cows. And all sorts of interesting things. Cows are a little bit tough, because they got that ridge in the top. They're very, very, very uncomfortable. But, you see, this is what life's all about. They didn't know about it, and they were in bliss. Mm-hmm. They didn't know about it, and they were peace, in peace. How wonderful. You know, you say, Herb, you're not facing the problem. And I said, thank you. I'm facing the solution. Have a lovely day, and know I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you.